Behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which will come to all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Amen. Good morning and Merry Christmas. That saying never gets old to me. Merry Christmas on this sixth day of Christmas. And in a church with a liturgy like ours, where we have spent so much time with Matthew's account of the Nativity and Luke's account of the Nativity, today's gospel from the beginning of John is a little bit different. It's one of my favorite bits of scripture. And I think it resonates with me because in college I studied a lot of poetry. And to me, that poetic part of the Word was God, the Word was with God, all of the play on word that John uses to talk about who God is in Jesus Christ, it really hits home with me. But I think it also hits home with all sorts of different people who study different subjects. I have a sister who's a psychology major. I think she would enjoy it for the aspects of telling what our thought processes are around God. I have another sister who's a history major like my father, and I think that she would appreciate all of the history that this gives us, that Jesus, the Word, was with God in the beginning, before Genesis, and it traces his account of life with us up until his incarnation, and what that has meant to our world since Christ was with us. And I think it would also appeal to my mother and her family, a bunch of journalists, because it answers in two very clear-cut sentences the five W's of journalism. The who, the what, the when, the where, and the why. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. When we focus so much on a nativity narrative with our Christmas pageants and in our stories on Christmas Eve, I think it's easy to become kind of turn our thoughts to thinking of God with us as the moment, the life of Jesus Christ. And that's a good thing, but it can become dangerous. If we see Jesus only as a human being, he kind of becomes like a yogi to us, someone we follow because he lived a good life. And I've had friends that say, oh, that's kind of how I understand Jesus. And it's something that I think I encounter more and more as I get older and I talk to people more about Jesus Christ, our Lord, who I love. And it's a little bit of a problem for me. And I think that John settles that problem. And I'll get into that in just a moment. But I think it's also something that John was seeing in his time. In the first century, when Christianity was still trying to find its footing, what it was going to grow into and what it was going to be after Christ has died, as the apostles begin to age and pass away, John is seeing in his community people who see Christ only as a man. And that's a problem for him because he doesn't understand the person he knew. He knows in Christ as only a man. He knows Christ as fully man and fully God. And he wants to tell people that. And it's rumored, or it's tradition in our church, that John wrote his gospel on his deathbed. So he's experienced this fullness of life and seen Christianity develop to what it is, and now he's trying to set the records straight from the beginning. And it's not that Matthew and Luke don't do that. But we have a very creation-oriented experience of the Nativity in those two Gospels. Jesus is born an infant, and infants, as we know them, need our care. They need our help. And so the Creator becoming creative, being helpless to all people, is a bit of a strange thing. And as we see Christ grow and develop and ease into his ministry through his baptism, through these epiphany experiences that we'll be talking about in the next couple of weeks, we see his divinity on full scene. We understand him to be God. We know that through those Gospels. But John is very clear in those first two lines about who he knows Jesus to be. And that's kind of our Christmas present. This is the same Gospel that we read on Christmas Day. And it's another one that we repeat right after the Sunday after Christmas to kind of hit home. We've had the Christmas pageant. We've understood this nativity, and now we need to understand Christ as more than a man. We need to understand Christ as a God, as fully God and fully man, lest we misunderstand what is going on in God's great gift to us in Jesus Christ. That God saw that we were not able to relate to him in the ways that he had promised through Moses. That those laws weren't working out to having us see God in our lives. And so he comes himself in Jesus Christ to redeem our sins, to show us himself as a human being, to give us not only an example to follow, but to give us himself in all of his glory to teach us, to show us the way. And that to me speaks of the importance of proximity in our lives. Proximity for us may be just helping us to care about something in our lives. It'd be hard to talk about, for example, the plastic problems we see in our beaches or going out fishing in boats to someone who lives in the mountains and doesn't experience plastic pollution just washing up in their backyard. And similarly, it would be hard for us to understand maybe the mining procedures and some of the wastewaters that that collects unless we lived in the mountains and we knew which rivers we couldn't fish because they've been contaminated by old mines, old mining activities. So proximity, being close to something, is part of how we learn to relate to it. It's part of how we understand our relationship with something. Another great example is with our own kids, with the kids we see here at church. If we don't take an active role and invest in these relationships, there's a worry that our kids might not have faith, or at least not the same faith that you and I have experienced in our upbringing and in our being an adult. So it's important that we invest, that we find proximity, and that we maintain that proximity to the things that we care about. And God is doing the same thing when he comes as Jesus Christ. And that witness that we have in our scripture is important to us because it not only shows the lifespan, the wonderful works that God did as a human being, but it shows us that this is God, that this is how we experience God in our lives. John gives us that timeless introduction to Jesus. It makes Jesus' full divinity clear as something that pre-existed time itself. In the beginning was the Word, before Genesis. And it gives us something that is beyond Easter for us. It gives us something that he is eternal. He is with God now in our experience. It's not just the risk we run of coming to church on, say, just Christmas and just Easter, where we get the beginning and we get the end of a life lived. John gives us, in just a few sentences, a timeless expanse where we are invested in God and we have good proximity to God through Christ and we can be with him. Jesus is God relating to us. He is the life and the light of our world. And no matter what the world does to darken him, no matter what we do that says he is only a man and we only celebrate him as a man, or whatever, no matter what we do conversely to say he is only God and we will only celebrate him as God, Scripture works out. And I think it's important that we think about our Scripture and the importance of interacting with our Scripture, especially as we go into this new year together, because that's the way we come to understand the fullness of what God is. He's not just a baby born into a manger. He's not just God. He's so much more. He's that relationship with us. So I encourage you to keep touching base with Scripture. Make that part of your New Year's plans, because it is so important to how we understand, how we relate ourselves, and how we know God in our lives. Amen.